In Genesis chapter 11, the Word of God reveals that the whole earth spoke one language at that time. In Genesis chapter 11, the first 9 verses we read, "Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, 'Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly.' They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth.' But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of man had built. And the Lord said, 'Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they purpose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech.' So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth." So in Genesis chapter 11, we see that the whole earth spoke one language. People had come up with a new technology so that they can make a name for themselves in the way they make and bake their bricks. And the people said to one another in verse 4, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." There's a couple of concerns with humanity here, with these people in Genesis chapter 11. First of all, they want to make a name for themselves. What was God's given purpose for humans that we see at the beginning of the book of Genesis? Humans were made to bear the image of God. That's in Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. Your purpose and my purpose is to make a name for God and His glory. Your purpose and my purpose is to give glory to God. What do these people want to do? They want to make a name for themselves. They want to glorify themselves. And this is a problem of pride. They want to make a name for themselves by building a tower, a great tower, whose top is in the heavens. They want attention. They want to make a name for themselves. They want to have a great reputation. They want to be remembered. They want people to know who they are. They want to be respected. Friends, all of this thinking is human pride, and it's sinful. It's rebellion against God's purpose. The second concern that we see with these people is they do not want to be dispersed over the whole earth. This also is an effort to directly violate the will of God. After God said that people were made to bear His image, He then told people to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. Genesis 1 and verse 28. Mankind was to spread out over the earth, acting as God's representatives in every place. But they did not want to do this. They did not want to disperse throughout the earth. We're seeing another layer of pride in this second problem. Another layer of pride in these people. They believe that they can control their own destinies. They believe that they can be the captain of their own lives. They believe they can live their lives their own way. So humanity is pictured as overstepping its boundaries. Humanity here is ignoring its God-given mandate. And in their pride, they think they can live however they want to live and do whatever they want to do. So what is God going to do here? What is He going to cause to happen to these people? Well, the Lord speaks in verses 6 and 7 and said, "Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they began to do. Now nothing that they purpose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." These people think they can do whatever they want to do and live however they want to live. And since they have one language, this is only the beginning of what they will be able to do. They will do whatever they purpose. Now, is God concerned about people getting together and building buildings? No. What does God mean? What is His concern? His concern is that all humanity will gather as one person and do evil. They are only going to keep violating God's will and living against God's purposes. And in fact, it will grow worse since they only have one language. God knows that His people have the potential to band together and rebel against Him. So God's response is to confuse the languages and disperse these people over all the earth. If you've ever wondered why we have so many languages on earth and how they came about, now you know the answer. It's right there in the biblical text in Genesis chapter 11. God did it in a response to human sin. Notice that God has no trouble stopping people's plans. He has no difficulty changing the course and plans of the earth. He can stop our activity at any time. God is not afraid of what we can do as if He can't stop us. God is concerned because all we do in our pride is commit more and more sin and evil. Some people are just bent on doing evil and they need someone to rescue them from their evil ways. They need someone to rescue them from their pride. There is a narrative that is connected from Babel in Genesis chapter 11 to Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2 that represents a divine reversal. Language confusion that scattered humanity is transformed into miraculous understanding that unites people. While Babel scattered people due to pride, Pentecost unites diverse languages through the Spirit to hear the gospel in their own native languages. Consider what we read in Acts, the second chapter. This is the first Pentecost after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And He's ascended to heaven, and He has told His apostles that He will send the Spirit that will guide them into all truth. And we begin reading this account in Acts, the second chapter, beginning in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together. They came together. They were confused at this time, it says, because everyone heard them speak in their own language, and they were wondering how this could happen. Verse 7 says that they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others, mocking, said, "They are full of new wine." But notice that Peter, along with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." So verses 17 through 21, he quotes the prophecy from Joel. And he says that what the prophet Joel spoke, these words by the prophet of old, are being fulfilled right before your very eyes. This is the day. And we pick up at verse 22, Peter goes on to say, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him. Now, this in verses 25 through 28 is prophecy from David, and he says it's being fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And in verse 29, we pick up, men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, and his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies a footstool. Peter begins to wind down this sermon on the day of Pentecost in verse 36. He says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, here's the response. They were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and breaking of bread, and in prayers. And then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, and they had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had had need. So we see a divine reversal here. Language confused to the people that were rebelling against God in Genesis chapter 11. But here in Acts chapter 2, their language was brought together where they could all understand what was being said as the gospel began to be preached. In Genesis chapter 11, Babel, we see the world shared one language but sought to make a name for themselves, prompting God to confuse their speech and to scatter them. So confusion and dispersion in Babel in Genesis 11. In Acts 2, on Pentecost, we have unity and understanding. The Holy Spirit allowed the apostles to speak in tongues, allowing Jews from many nations to hear the gospel in their own language, reversing the barrier that had been created at Babel. Babel signifies a divided humanity in judgment, while Pentecost represents the gathering of Jews from every nation and the restoration of communication for the sake of the gospel. Pentecost does not eliminate different languages, but overcomes the barrier between them to unify believers in Christ. So you think about it in contrast, Babel in Genesis 11 and Pentecost in Acts 2. Babel was man's effort to rebel against God. On Pentecost, God reached down to bring man to himself through the blood of Jesus Christ. In Babel, we see man's work is emphasized. On Pentecost, the work of God, the work of the Spirit is the focus. The Bible is a beautiful book of God's redemption through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and his purpose. This is Steve Peeler, the evangelist at the West Main Church of Christ in Franklin. Thank you so much for listening to our radio program.